thought I'd show you a photo of our first Mother's Day, Nige and I. This is my first Mother's Day. And what do you think of Nige with his mullet? So, what do you reckon? So, I think that's... Oh, Eunice. Oh, I love the look. So, that's my little bubby there. So, the one that now makes a mess, that's Jared Montserman, named after his grandfather. And there's Nigel and his dashing hairstyle. The mullet. I heard the mullet's coming back in. No, Alexander, no, it's not coming back in. Was it never in? It was never in fashion. There we go. Fantastic. That was my first Mother's Day. There we go. Well, guys, we're going to have some fun this morning, and I'm glad that you came to church today. And the title of my message is, you can actually take that down right now. And the title of my message is, they are not that bad. Kids, they are not that bad. That is the title of my message today. That we as parents, we're not that bad. And if I remember thinking correctly, I thought my parents were pretty bad. And now my kids think I'm pretty bad. And it's a lot of fun, isn't it? Raising great kids. So we're going to have a look at the Bible today. And, you know, if you don't attend church normally, or this is your first time that you've been in church for a long time, you're actually going to be incredibly surprised about how much the Bible talks about families and also how much the Bible talks about raising children. It's a great book for life, and the Bible is actually classified as the bread of life. If we read it, it feeds us and it helps us how to do our best life and how to raise kids. When I was a young mum in a parenting group here in Fremantle, what used to horrify me was that parents would often ask other parents how they were raising their children. And that just showed me that there were not many people actually learning how to raise kids. What they were doing is they were asking lots of questions. And so you could see how dysfunction kept getting reproduced because no one seemed to learn about how to raise a child. Now, we can't learn at all. I think by the time you get to the end of learning how to raise them, you're actually, they're too old and they've left home. And you actually want to start again, don't you? That's why you're a grandparent, yes. Isn't it? You guys. Hey, Doug and Kathy, it's why you're a grandparent. Because by the time you figure it out, the kids have left home and had their own. But the Bible is absolutely rich in how to raise our children. And we're going to have a look at that for a few minutes this morning. So if the classic scriptures that we need to read are from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. And the New Living Translation says, honour your mother and father. This is the first of the 10 commandments. So this starts in the Old Testament and goes right through the New Testament. This is the first of the 10 commandments that ends in a promise. And this is the promise. If you honour your father and mother, you will live a long life full of blessing. If you honour your parents, you will be blessed. I just think God is so good. Not only do you get to have parents, but you also get to be blessed by honouring them. And this morning we're actually going to have a look at what does it mean to honour our parents. So this is actually going to be one of those profound sermons. Because, are you ready for it? It's so profound. It is so profound. Are you ready for it? Okay, this is the first profound thought. Every parent is flawed. The second profound piece of wisdom today you are going to hear from C3 Fremantle. I wouldn't be alive without them. And the third thing is God chose their DNA to make you. I mean, if you just left now, it's just, you know, you'd be full of wisdom today, wouldn't you? Psalm 139, verse 16 says, you saw me, God, before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. I want to say today that God was there at the point of your conception, and he was intricately involved in your making. You're not an accident. Your parents may have had an accident, but you're not an accident. You may not have been planned by mum and dad, but God planned you. But why those parents? Because they had the DNA that God wanted to use to create the unique you. And any two other individuals and it wouldn't be you. So God was more interested in creating you than worrying about their parenting skills. Told you it's going to be deep. You may have had good parents, not so great parents, or even terrible absentee parents, or parents that have hurt you, but God was still there. Okay, survey today. It's going to be an interactive sermon. Okay, stand up if some mother went through labour for you. I'll say it again. Stand up if some mother went through labour for you. Okay, this is another piece of profound wisdom. Do you realise what a pain you were? You may be seated. Okay. Now, we're not all mums here today. Some of you haven't had children. The circumstances why you haven't had children, but we've all had a mum, haven't we? Now, the Bible is clear that we are to honour our mothers. And I just want to put a disclaimer in there. There is a huge difference between position and person. So we have the position of our Prime Minister. Now, you may dislike Malcolm Turnbull, but he currently holds the position of Prime Minister. The Bible tells us that there are three areas of authority that we must honour. We must honour government, we must honour church, and we must honour family. That's God's structure of honour. So we honour the position of Prime Minister whether we like Malcolm Turnbull or not, because that's what God asks us to do. He says, I want you to honour the position. It's the same in parenting. God says, I want you to honour the position of parent, even if you had terrible parents. A great example of this in the Bible was a guy named David. So David, God had clearly spoken to him through the prophet, and he said that you will actually become the next king of Israel, but not until there was another king, Saul, until I choose to remove Saul. God was very clear about that. David got it. Now, Saul went psycho. There's no way of saying it. He just went mad, mad, mad. But David recognized the authority of the king. And so David had many opportunities to settle scores with this king, who was completely insane. But David recognized the authority that God had placed this king in that position. Until God chose to remove him from that position, then he would honor it. It's the same with our parents. We may not have parents here today that have treated us well, but we can still honour the position of parent. And as we go through this morning, I'm hoping I'll be able to give you a few little keys on how you can do that, even if your parents or your mother in particular, you've struggled with. So, how do I honour my mother? Well, there are three stages that all of us will go through in our lives, and all of you here today are going to be at different stages. So first we have the stage of a child and their relationship with their mother. That's our phase one. Then we have the second phase, and that's phase two, which is where we're a teenager or adult, young adult. And the third is the last phase is when it's adult to adult. And they're the three phases that we'll go through. And the Bible tells us how to honour our parents through those three phases. So our first phase, we can find again in Ephesians 6:1. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. That's exactly what we did here this morning. So what parents were doing here this morning was they were recognised that the child that they have is actually a gift from God. It's a gift. And today we were saying that child actually belongs to you, God. And so obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do, the scriptures say. So obeying our parents is actually the right thing to do. So the first phase is childhood, and the first stage is we need to honour our parents by obeying them. Now, what does this mean? Well, if you're a child and parents, if you're here and your kids are over next door, or maybe they're not here this morning, this is really some really good stuff for you to understand. And that is that, what do we mean by asking our children to obey? Well, simply, it's actually getting our children to do what we ask them to do. It's carrying out instructions and teaching them to do it without whining or complaining. Yay! Now, this is such an important developmental phase of a child's life, because as we teach our children how to follow instructions – We are teaching them how to respond to authority. Now, it's an important life skill that we need to teach our kids, because if we don't teach our children, they're not going to be able to know how to respond and relate to authority later in life. I also want to say here, it is okay to say no to your child. It's okay. You won't damage them if you say no. Don't be fooled into giving in when they tell you that such and such is allowed to do it, or such and such has got it, or I don't want to do that. My mum gave me some incredible advice many years ago when one of my children, who was particularly strong-willed, was stubbornly refusing to do what I asked. She said, stop trying to be their friend and making them happy. She said, it's your job to be their parent. Ouch. But it's true. Sometimes we want our children's happiness to actually overweigh the need to say no. And at times when we give in, it's actually not a healthy thing. Now, having said that, you do need to pick your battles if you have a strong-willed child. My sister, who still works as a school administrator in a country school, received a call from a parent several years ago demanding to speak to the school principal. This is a true story. Kathy O'Day, you'll be able to identify with this. Because this parent wanted to know why the school was not teaching her child how to respect parents. My sister coolly replied that, in fact, that was the role of the parent and not the school to teach them how to respect. So it may be fair to say that through no fault of their own, children have not been taught the place of authority in the home. And a child who doesn't know how to respond to authority won't be able to hold down a job for very long or cope at university. And I know this because only about 2 weeks ago, a university lecturer raised this in a lecture, saying that she was getting inundated by emails from students now, and the emails were inappropriate. It is our role as parents to teach them the role of authority. What will happen if they don't is, before too long, their employer is going to ask them to do something they're not going to like to do, and they're not going to put up with the whining and complaining. And what we're not teaching our children is healthy coping mechanisms if we don't teach them about authority. The other part of that is if we don't teach our children authority and responding to instructions, then how on earth are they going to ever obey their Heavenly Father when He asks them to do something? So, I show honour to my parents as a child by doing what I'm asked to do. Now, I should also say at that stage that children think you are the most awesomest, bestest parents in the whole world. My son recently turned 21 and I was rummaging through a photo album, and at the front of the photo album I'd written down some little stories over the years, and I found this one recently. So, again, this is a true story. Jared wanted to know what Charlie Ricardo did for a job. Now, if you don't know who Charlie is, Charlie, would you mind standing up, please? Okay, stand up. Show him your handsome face. There we go. Okay, fantastic. Okay. So, I explained at the time, this was going back many, many years ago, Jared was just a little boy, about 4 years old. I explained that Charlie was a butcher, and that butchers cut up the meat and they packed it ready for us to buy in the supermarket. I then asked Jared if he understood what Charlie did and if he knew what his own daddy did. And Jared replied, I understand, Mummy. Charlie is a butcher and Daddy is a legend. What can I say? I'm sorry, Charlie. I am sorry. But don't they think you're the most awesomest, bestest at that stage? Fantastic. So the second stage, developmental stage, that we will go through in our lives is that we will transition in our relationships with our parents and our mothers, is we will go from a child learning how to obey instructions. Your parents are going to love this today, aren't you? You're going to go home and go, do what I say. Pastor Andrea said. So, actually, the Bible said, don't shoot the messenger. So, the second phase is the teenage young adult phase. Now, the reason I'll group those together, because a lot of young adults are not leaving home. So, now, again, this is an interactive sermon. If you're here for the very first time in church, I don't normally do this, but we are going to do this morning. If you are a mother today, would you stand up, please? And Sound Desk, we want to sing to you the second phase of the developmental phase. Mothers, take it. Come on, play it. There we go. You'll get it pretty quickly. I want you to nudge your teenager. This is what we want you to learn. Teenagers. We want to teach you how to respect us. Come on, mums. You got to move it. I want you to nudge your kid. We want to teach you how to respect. In the great words of Aretha Franklin, we want you to respect us. You may take your seats. I mean, I just couldn't say it, could I, as well as Aretha? Seriously, giving those kids a bit of a nudge. Okay, the second stage is the teenage young adult phase, and I honour my parents by showing respect and listening to them. How do we respect them? Well, Leviticus 19, verse 3 says, each of you must show respect to your mother and father. And then in the New Testament, Hebrews 12, verse 9, in the Message says, we respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us. I just love the Message Bible. I'll just say that one again in case you didn't get it. We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us. There we go. So respecting doesn't mean, kids, this is for you, respecting doesn't mean we don't see our parents' weaknesses. If anything, we realise that they're flawed human beings. In fact, as a teenager, that's all you see, is we're flawed. Nothing else, we're just flawed. So, okay. But God says, respect your mother in spite of her flaws. So how do we respect her? We can respect her by accepting her and forgiving her. We accept the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, why should you accept them? You may say to me, I didn't have a choice, you know. Well, neither did they have a choice when they got you. Unless you were adopted and you were the lucky one because they chose you. But look, respect means forgiving. It means forgiving them for their faults and weaknesses too. Again, you may say, why should I? They're the adult. But one day you're going to be the adult and one day you're going to need forgiveness too. And so we honour our parents by the way we talk to them. We don't disrespect them with our words or what we say. And we honour them by listening to them. Again, the Bible has a lot to say about the topic. Proverbs 13, verse 1 in the Message Bible says, I love this. Intelligent children listen to their parents, and foolish children do their own thing. It's true, isn't it? So, now if you're living away from home as an adult, you aren't bound to do what your parents say because you're an adult, but you are bound to listen to them respectfully. There will never be a time in your life that you can be disrespectful or shouldn't listen to your parents. We can still show respect by listening. It doesn't mean we have to do what they say, but it's giving them the respect of listening. And so I understand as adult children that are now living at home longer, not looking anywhere, all the parents, the Moore family. Okay, who's got university age students that just won't leave home? Okay, there we go, you guys, there we go. So how does it apply? How does it apply when you've got adult children living at home? Well, in our family, and I'm, you know, I should have had about 11 children so that you couldn't guess which ones I was talking about. But look, what do you do with adult children living at home? The way that we've handled it, as Nigel and I have done it as parents, is what we've basically said to our children, yes, you're an adult, you are living in our home, but our rules still do apply. So while you choose to live under our roof, these are our rules. If you don't like it, which helps set a good boundary because sometimes you can lose control. And I think every 18-year-old loves to say the statement, well, I'm an adult now, you can't tell me what to do. Anyone ever had that card thrown at them? Just a couple, hey, a couple of parents. I'm an adult, you can't tell me what to do. Well, that's true. We can't tell you what to do. But intelligent children listen to their parents. Foolish parents, foolish children do their own thing. So, there we go. So does that mean that the dumber the kid, the dumber the parent, or the... Anyway, we won't go there. Okay. So your house, your rules, that's the way that it is, unless there was a great family in Wellard, and she was telling me this awesome story, Julie was telling me an awesome story, that they got so sick of their kids not leaving home that they left home, built another house. And I just went, I like that. I'm going to talk to Nigel about that one. That's awesome. So fantastic. Great. So the third phase is... The third phase is when you become an adult, and it's the adult-to-adult relationship with our parents. And so I've old enough to have gone through all three phases, so I've got a lot to say this morning. Today's English Standard Version of the Bible in Proverbs 23, verses 22 says, when your mother is old, show her appreciation. What a great scripture. I love that. I just laughed and laughed when I read that one. Okay. When your mother is old, show her appreciation. So what do we appreciate of our mothers? Well, we appreciate their effort. Parenting is difficult, it's time consuming, and it's expensive. And all the parents went, yes, I agree. I actually heard a stat this week that in today's economy, it costs $250,000 to raise a child to 18. That's ridiculous. So parents, we're spending a lot of money on them. It's an unselfish act to have children. And adult children here today, what could your parents have afforded if they hadn't had you? But instead they chose you. And there isn't a parent on this planet that has got it all right. And so as adults today, we find things that we can thank our parents for and we stop focusing on the negative. We appreciate their effort. I'm going to talk a little bit about this in a few minutes. Western culture is the only culture that doesn't respect its elders. It actually doesn't respect anyone. It doesn't respect police officers, nurses, politicians. It doesn't respect pastors. It doesn't respect anyone. It's not the right culture. We have to get God's culture. Now, I think we can learn from other cultures such as Middle Eastern, African and Asian cultures that the older you are, the more respected you become. And people value your wisdom. So how do we appreciate them? By affirming our adult parents, our older parents, particularly aged parents. We affirm them by staying in touch. And to honour means to recognise the significance of their role in our life. That could be just a card, a phone call, a Skype if you live away from parents. And usually when our parents are elderly, they don't want for anything. Just a card, a call, a visit actually means a lot. And my mother-in-law's actually here this morning, and my husband, he loves taking his mum out for breakfast because boys have got to eat. I mean, they're going to take their mums out, they've got to eat. So they love to eat and they love to go out for breakfast. And so as our parents get older, they still want to have a place in our lives. Parents don't have a use-by date. And so what's the other thing that we can do is we can provide for them. Again, I love African culture for this, Asian culture. So as time passes, the roles should reverse. It's our responsibility to care for our parents. And Susan, you know, your mum lives with you and a lot of families where the parents from other cultures will live with their families because there wasn't Centrelink. And so I think, again, in our Western culture, we've actually pushed the responsibility onto government. We've said it's your problem. My parents are elderly, they're your problem. Well, the Bible actually tells us they're our responsibility. And 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 and 4 says, the church should care for any widow who has no one else to care for her. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility their first responsibility. I'm not sure if you heard me. Their first responsibility is to show godliness at home. Their first responsibility is to show godliness at home. Godliness at home. It's so much harder to be godly at home. Just come to my house. Come on. What's the persona that we put out there? But what's godliness look like at home? And repay their parents by taking care of them. Now, this is the end part of the scripture. This is something that pleases God. Wow. You know, we're so blessed to have Centrelink. So the financial burden in our society isn't great to care for our parents. But there are things like taking them to doctor's appointments, helping them with financial and legal matters, just little things like that. You know, calling in the plumber, helping with the car, whatever it is, we can actually do that for our parents. And this pleases God. When you do that, it actually pleases God. And they're the kind of things that people don't see. So often we want to do things that people will get reward for, won't we? Aren't I a wonderful person? But these are the things that no one sees when you're helping parts of the family. And I believe that God does that because he wants to develop our character. He wants us to develop character because who are we when no one's looking? Are we going to be the godly men and women that he's developing? And so that's what we do. But what about parents who've hurt you? And deeply, I'm talking about physically, emotionally, or sexually. Well, the Bible's very strong about child abuse. Jesus says, and these are the words of Jesus, it would have been better if you hadn't been born. He takes it so severely that if we abuse our children, because as a pastor for over 20 years, I've seen the damage of that. But if we have been today, what does God want us to do with that pain? Well, he doesn't want you to deny it. He doesn't want you to repress it, excuse it, ignore it. But he wants us to face pain. And there are people here today that are carrying pain from your parents. And if you are carrying it and you haven't dealt with it, then you will take it out on those around you. You'll take it out on your children, your husband, your friendships, your work relationships. And there's people here today that your parents have actually died, but they still have a huge hold over you. You're still thinking, what would they say or what would they do? And you're still trying to please them from the grave. And I believe that the anger will eat you up, and it takes courage to face the pain. I remember being very angry in my teenage years. I grew up in a home where there was domestic violence and there wasn't a lot of love. And I've taken a long time, but I can honestly say that I have been free for many years now of that anger, and I've been able to forgive and let go. I want to say today that your childhood, no matter whether you've been sexually, physically, or emotionally abused, your childhood does not have to determine the rest of your life. Make a decision to allow Jesus Christ to bring the healing that you need, and he will bring it. So how do you honour your parents when there's too much abuse? I the whole way through my childhood and into adulthood, that domestic violence was always there. It didn't magically change. And so the way that I overcame this was I stopped trying to pretend it wasn't there. That was the reality of my family life. It was what it was. And the relationship had been too damaged and it wasn't healthy for me to be around it too much. So I would actually ask God, how could I honour one of my parents who I had so much anger towards? How could I honour him? Because I confused honour with love. So I would think I needed to love that parent. And so the Bible doesn't ask us to love that parent. It actually asks us to honour them. So I did what I said to you earlier, is I looked at the position of the parent. And I found things that I could honour them with. And I was fortunate I wasn't sexually abused. And so then my confession would be, not to them, but I would say to God, God, I'm so grateful I have not been sexually abused. I would say things like, God, I'm so grateful that I had food on the table. God, I'm so grateful that I actually had a roof over my head. And so what we can do is we can still honour the position. So from that point to the next phase for me, it was then going, okay, well, how can I honour this person who was now older and needed my help? And so what I would do is I would actually say, I look at this person and think, I may not love you, but the Bible's quite clear that every human being, doesn't matter how bad we may think they are, but every human being has been created in the image of God. That means that God loves every human being. He does. Now, my parents had their flaws and their dysfunction, just like I've got mine. But what I chose, and this is how I managed the situation, was I went, you've been created in the image of God, then I have a responsibility to make sure that you're okay. And so what I would do was I would make sure that they had food on the table, that they had a roof over their head, and that they had their bills paid. And that was how I could honour the position of that parent. So while I didn't feel love or even like them, I could honour them by making sure that they were cared for. And today, if you've had a parent where there's too much damage there, I don't recommend you try and create a relationship if that's not healthy. I strongly don't recommend that. But there are ways that we can still show honour by making sure that there are other people who can actually provide that service if you can't even have contact with them. But what I do want to say to you today is that God can heal. He can heal. He can heal. No matter how difficult your childhood was, no matter how dysfunctional the relationship with your mother was, God can heal. And another thing that really helped me was that what I did was I went back to this book and I actually asked God what was his view of me, because I'd grown up again in a family that felt that I didn't maybe have the value that I felt I should have. So I had a lot of things that were said that weren't very positive. And so for me, I had to go back to the Bible and find out what God said about me. And the healing came when I recognized that my Heavenly Father, He really loved me. He really loved me. My Heavenly Father said that nothing would separate me from that love. Not life, not death, not tragedy, not circumstances. There was nothing in this world that would separate me from His love. And so what I did was I started to decide that I would accept what God said about me than what my parents said about me. And that brought healing. You see, the Bible says that God loved me so much that His Son, Jesus Christ, came and hung on a cross for me. God so loved His world. You see, every one of us today, we believe that we're pretty much a good person. But we're measuring ourselves against a standard that is a little bit dysfunctional. Because what I value as good and what you value as good is very different. And so what God does is God says, do you know what? Everyone on planet Earth has got a bit of dysfunction. And I'm coming to this earth because I love them so much that I'll give up my life for you. And so when I really got a revelation of that, that God loves me, it helped me to forgive my parents, but it also helped heal the dysfunction that had been there. And so for me, it's been okay to honour my parents now. I can do that. And my mum's still alive. My dad's passed away and my mum's still alive. So in conclusion, we honour our parents by 1, obeying them, 2, respecting them, 3, listening to them, 4, appreciating them, 5, providing for them, and 6, by forgiving and letting go. Today, if there's pain there, we're going to pray a prayer and we are going to ask God for you to let it go. Shall we stand together if you don't mind? Fantastic. You know, today you may know of Jesus Christ. You may have heard it. You may have grown up, gone to school. And people have talked about who Jesus is. But we've got to have the relationship with him. It's not enough to know God. We've got to just know that he's our Father. You know, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you've heard that statement before, but it's true. It's so true. Isn't a person on our planet that isn't dysfunctional? We just may actually keep those doors closed at the back, guys. It's a little bit distracting for me. We're just going to pray a prayer. Just 2 minutes. And then I just ask you, you could just stay standing just for those couple of minutes. And I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of that prayer. I'd love to pray with you today. And if you just say, Andrew, I just want to connect closer to God, I'm going to ask you, if you just raise your hand, it's not to embarrass you, but what it's to do is I'd love to give you a Bible later on, and I'd love to pray with you. And there are people here, I know in a group of this size that there are people here today where you're actually also, there's a sense of shame that you've felt like you've been a really crappy parent. Ask God to forgive. There isn't a parent here who hasn't done something wrong, hasn't felt a sense of shame at the way they've parented their kids, wish they'd done it better. Or today you're the victim of a situation where you've grown up and you've just gone, oh my gosh, it still haunts me, that pain. I'm still doing things as a result and reacting as a result of that pain. Well, you can let that go today. You can walk out of these doors and God can heal. The best way to do that is to just say, Jesus, come into my life. I recognize that I need forgiveness and I also need to forgive. It's so simple. You know, the theology of Christianity is not supposed to be difficult. It's supposed to be easy. It's a loving God who loves you, who came to this earth. He died on a cross for you so that you could have relationship with him again. He took on our wrongdoing and he gave us access so that when we do things wrong, we can go, God, I'm sorry. I give it to you. That's the message of salvation. Let's pray together. Would you pray with me? And then this morning, if you go, Andrew, I need to reconnect with God today. I want to accept Jesus into my life. I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. We just want to give you a bit of a Bible and I'd love to pray with you. Let's say this together. Dear Heavenly Father, today I recognize that only you have not sinned, are perfect, and are the perfect parent. Today I recognize that my parents are flawed and I'm flawed. And today I choose to forgive my parents and to forgive myself the things that I've done wrong. I ask right now that you would come into my life. I choose you to be Lord of my life. Forgive me, God, for never having recognized the need for you in my life. I recognize what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. He's forgiven me. He's taken away my shame and guilt. And today, I believe what the Bible says, that I'm a brand new person. In Jesus' name, amen. Just put your hand up if you pray that for the first time and you go, Andrew, I just want to grab that Bible and I'd love you to pray with me. Is there anyone here today? It's not my intention to embarrass you. It's a bit hard to see with the lighting on. Is there anyone at all here today that says, Andrew, that's me? That's me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father God, as we close our service this morning, I just pray. I pray you'll bless this incredible group of people. I pray they will take comfort and courage in reading the Bible to learn how to parent well and how to do life well. Father, we pray your blessing upon them. As your word says, as we honor our parents, we will be blessed and live a long life, your word says. I pray blessing upon these people in Jesus' name. Amen.